if anyone else, okay, Dot, Nadia Mas. And so I'm going to do something this morning, a little strange, but I wasn't out of books about it, but just something I've been thinking on as we kind of work through some of this. It's a little out, okay. Yo estaba pensando mientras trabajamos a través de esta. So I want us to go to Ezra chapter 3. Que vamos a Ezra, because we read this not long ago. Leemos esta no hace mucho tiempo. Ezra chapter 3. And just to give you a quick background, the fundo. They're rebuilding the temple, van a reconstruir el templo, and they've just laid the foundation. Acaban de poner la fundación. And if you need to think about the first temple, debes pensar en el primer temple. So David wants to build the temple, David quiere construir el templo, and he's not able to. Dios no lo deja. God doesn't let him. Dios dijo que su hijo iba. God said his son was going to. So Solomon builds a temple. Solomon construyó a temple. And we need to know and realize, debemos saber y realizar, there's not another building in the world that ever compared. No hay un edificio en el mundo que se compara. And never, ever. And so, ningún vez en historia. And so, when we're talking about the glory of the temple that Solomon built, when hablamos de la gloria que el templo de Solomon construyó, it was grand, era grande. And not only the glory physically of the temple, no solamente la gloria físicamente del templo, but the circumstances in which they were in, the circumstances donde estaban ellos. There was peace, había paz, there was a great flourishing nation, había un gran nación, i.e. in Israel. And, you know, I even think about queens coming and wanting to marry Solomon. Aún pienso de las reinas queriendo venir a casar con Solomon. So you don't have these kingdoms necessarily coming to attack Solomon. No tienes los reinos que vienen para atacar Solomon. You have queens wanting to marry Solomon. Tienes reyes que quieren casar con Solomon. And so you see this time in the nation of Israel where they think we've arrived. Entonces ves este tiempo en la nación de Israel donde ellos creen hemos llegado, right? And so then you know the story. Después sabes la historia. They're unfaithful, son infiel. The next Solomon's son, el hijo de Solomon, the kingdom is divided, el reino está dividido. And every time there's a war, y cada vez que hay una guerra, the thing, the temple is ransacked. The temple está atacado. It's like you just see the slow fade of its glory. It's como ves este desmayo de su gloria lentamente, ¿no? Until you get to the exile, hasta que llegas al exilio, and all of the furnishings of the temple are removed, y todos los cosas del templo son quitados. They're taken to Babylon, están llevados a Babylonia. And that's where you have drinking out of the grail. Y ahí es donde tienes el hijo de Nebuchadnezzar tomando del vaso del templo, ¿no? And he dies because of it. Muere por eso. And so then they go into exile, van exilio. God makes this promise to restore them. Dios hace la promesa para restaurarlos. And Ezra comes back to build the temple. Ezra regresa para construir el templo, and they lay the foundation. Y pone la fundación. Well, you have two groups here in this building of the temple. Tienes dos grupos in the construcción del templo, exactly when they lay the foundation, exactamente cuando pone la fundación. The first group, the primer grupo, is a group of young men who are ready to get back the glory of Israel. Un grupo de jóvenes que están listos para poner de nuevo la gloria de Israel. Hey, we're back in our country. Regresamos a nuestro país. Our parents have told us about the great glory. Nuestros padres nos han dicho de gran gloria. Let's rebuild this. Reconstruyamos esta. And not only is the temple laid waste, no solamente está desolado el templo, but everything around it. Pero todo alrededor. So you can imagine in the middle of ruins, puedes imaginar en medio de unas ruins, they're building the foundation, están poniendo la fundación. And these young men are excited, estos jóvenes están emocionados. But in Ezra 3, verse 12, we have something very interesting. In Ezra 3, 12, tenemos algo muy interesante. But many of the priests and Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses, old men who had not seen the first house, wept with a loud voice when they saw the foundation of his house being laid, though many shouted with joy. Hermano, ¿puedes leerlo? En Ezra 3:12.
Dice, y muchos de los sacerdotes, de los levitas y de los jefes de la casa paterna, ancianos que habían visto la casa primera, viendo echar los cimientos de esta casa, lloraban en alta voz mientras muchos otros daban grandes gritos de alegría.
So you have these young men excited, shouting for joy, but you have the older men who had seen the glory of the first temple weeping, right? And they're saddened, right? And so the question is, why are they saddened? I believe they're saddened. The pregunta es por qué están tristes. And I believe they're saddened because this doesn't look like the first one. Este no se ve como el primero. Now this doesn't look like the temple that Solomon built. Este no se ve como el templo que Solomon construyó. And then go to Haggai. Después vamos a Haggai.
Ageo.
Ageo. Sabía que era diferente, se me olvidé. Un momento me salió. Ageo. And in chapter 2, in capítulo 2, starting in verse 2, empezando en versículo 2. Now, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to all the remnant of the people of Israel, a people, and say, dice en 2:9, por tanto,
habla ahora a Zorobabel, hijo de Salatiel, gobernador de Judá, y a Josué, hijo de Josadá, sumo sacerdote, y al resto del pueblo diciendo.
So, who is Zerubbabel? ¿Quién es Zerubbabel? The king, right? He's a king. And as we saw Brother AJ, Paul knows from Brother AJ, he is in the line of David, the lineage of David. So he's telling the people, he says, call the high priest. Now say to the high priest and the remnant of the people, right? So he's going to ask a question. I'll send a prayer over to verse 3, verse 3. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not nothing in your eyes?
¿Quién ha quedado entre vosotros que haya visto esta casa en su gloria primera? ¿Cómo la veis ahora? ¿No es ella como nada delante de vosotros?
So, this kind of makes me laugh a little bit. Me da un poco de risa, un poco. Because you read in Ezra, leemos en Ezra, that these young men are excited. Esos jóvenes están emocionados. And now it's built. Y ahora está construido. And here comes Haggai. Aquí es Vandena Ageo. And he says, speak to the ones who knew of this house before. And he said, habla a los que conocían esta casa antes. Is this nothing in comparison? No es nada en comparación? Now, I want to make a few connections here. Quiero hacer unas conexiones aquí. Most of us grew up in a very dispensational society. La mayoría de nosotros crecemos en una sociedad muy dispensacional. I remember my mom telling me, Israel is God's country, Israel is a place of Dios, and they've never lost a war. Nunca han perdido una guerra. I started reading the Bible and I'm like, yeah, they did. Y empecé a leer la Biblia y dije, yeah, perdieron guerras, ¿no? And you see the Holocaust, vemos el Holocausto. And but anyways, we grew up in this society of dispensationalism. Crecemos en una sociedad de dispensacionalismo. In our whole lives, we've been waiting for one event. Y todas nuestras vidas estamos esperando un evento. That they would get the land back and start the temple. Que ganan la tierra de nuevo y empiezan el temple, ¿no? And yet here we have this in the reconstruction of Israel. Aquí tenemos en la reconstrucción de Israel. They lost it, lo perdieron, and now they've come back and rebuilt it. Y ahora han regresado reconstruido ese templo. And Haggai, Ageo, he says, look at it. Se mira. Is it nothing, not nothing in comparison? No, it's nada in comparison. The ones who saw it before, los que vieron antes, you look at it now, lo miras ahora, and what is it? It cares. Nothing, nada, no? And so my question, as we think about covenant theology, y mi pregunta mientras pensamos en teología de pacto, what is the reality then? What is the reality then? What is the promise in the new covenant? What is the promesa in the new pacto? What is this? You're going to see this here. Vamos a verlo aquí in verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak. The high priest, be strong. All you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts.
Pues ahora, Zorobabel, esfuérzate, dice Jehová. Esfuérzate también tú, Josué, hijo de Josadac, sumo sacerdote, y cobra algo, pueblo todo de la tierra. Dice Jehová, y trabajad porque yo estoy con vosotros, dice Jehová.
According to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains in your midst. Fear not.
Según el pacto que hice con vosotros cuando salisteis de Egipto, así mi espíritu estará en medio de vosotros, no temáis.
So think about it in this sense, pencil and emphasis in Egypt. The nation of Israel was taken captive to Babylon. La nación de Israel fue captivo, llevado captivo a Babilonia. And by the providence of God, they now return. Y por la providencia de Dios regresaron. And they have a temple. Tienen un templo. They're rebuilding. Están reconstruyendo. And the temple's now done. Ya completo el templo. And yet it says nothing. Sin embargo, it's nada. So you can imagine a nation hoping, puedes imaginar una nación esperando to be a great nation once again. Hacer una gran nación de nuevo. And yet, they look at the temple, miran el templo. They look at what they think is the reality. Ellos miran lo que piensan es realidad. And they say, it's nothing. It's sad. It's nada. It's three things. And Haggai, Ageo, he says, fear not. He said, no temerás. Remember a covenant. Recuerdas el pacto, right? And then he says in verse 6. Dice en verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more in a little while I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. He said in verse 6. Porque así dice Jehová de los ejércitos. De aquí a poco yo haré temblar los cielos y la tierra, el mar y la tierra seca. Now, I want you to keep this in mind. Quiero que guardes esta mente. That the Lord says, once more I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. Y el Señor dice, voy a temblar los cielos y la tierra. No? Verse 7. And I will shake all the nations, so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Versículo 7.
Y haré temblar a todas las naciones, y vendrá el deseado de todas las naciones, y llenaré de gloria esta casa, ha dicho Jehová de los ejércitos.
The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts.
Mía es la plata, y mío es el oro, dice Jehová de los ejércitos.
The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, the Lord of hosts.
La gloria postrera de esta casa será mayor que la primera, ha dicho Jehová de los ejércitos. Y daré paz en este lugar, dice Jehová de los ejércitos.
So these men are looking upon this temple. Estos hombres están mirando este templo, and it's ugly, it's terrible. No está muy bien, está feo. It's nothing compared to what it was. It's nada. Comparison to look at and they're sad. It's not triste. This is it? This is todo? And Haggai brings this promise. Y Haggai trae esta promesa. So you need to know he's the prophet of the Lord himself. He's the prophet of the Señor. He's the one speaking to God, for God, to the nation. Él es hablando por Dios la nación. And God sends him to say, Dios lo manda decir, don't fear, no temerás. All of the world's possessions, todos los possessions del mundo, all of the wealth of the world, todo lo valor del mundo, everything is mine, todo es mío, and I'm going to bring it into this house. Y yo voy a traerlo a esta casa. And the glory of it afterward, y la gloria que es después, will be greater than the glory we had it before. Y la gloria en final va a ser mejor que la gloria que tenía antes. So, you get this picture that they're looking at it and saying, yeah, this isn't what we hoped for. Tienes esta foto que están mirando diciendo, ese no es lo que esperamos. And Haggai knows that. Haggai lo conoce. And so, from the Lord, he gives them this promise. The Señor da una promesa. It's going to be far greater. Va a ser mucho mejor. I'm going to gather all the world's wealth and give it to you. Yo voy a tomar toda la posesión del mundo y te doy a ti. Everything's mine and it's going to be yours. Todo es mío y va a ser tuyo. Now let's fast forward. Vamos a adelantar. You have this temple now. Tenemos este templo, ¿verdad? And constantly they're trying to improve it. Y constantemente están tratando a mejorarlo. And so tomorrow in our reading, we'll read this. Mañana en nuestra lectura vamos a leer esto. But if you go with me to Matthew 24, si vayas conmigo a Mateo 24. I want to start in verse 23, or chapter 23. Quiero empezar en capítulo 23. And starting in verse 16, empezando versículo 16. Woe to you blind guides who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. Versículo 16 in chapter 23.
Hay de vosotros,
23:16.
Hay de vosotros, guías ciegos, que decís, si alguno jura por el templo, no es nada. Pero si alguno jura por el oro del templo, es deudor.
So Jesus is giving a rebuke to the Pharisees. Jesús está dando un regaño a los fariseos, and he says, woe to you, ay de ustedes. You swear by the gold of the temple, juras por el oro del templo, and that's your oath. Y ese es tu juramento. But verse 17, versículo 17. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that is made sacred, made the gold sacred? Versículo 17.
Porque ¿Cuál es mayor, el oro o el templo que santifica al oro?
So he rebukes them. Elul's right now, and he said, do you think the gold makes this place creepy? Or oro lo hace este lugar? Is it not the temple that makes the gold sacred? No es el templo que hace el oro sagrado, right? And there's a sense where the nation's going to say, yeah, we've been building this for a long time. Hay una sensación que la nación va a decir, sí, hemos estado construyendo esto por mucho tiempo. And so after he gives this, the most stern rebuke that Jesus gives in his whole ministry, después de que Cristo da su regaño más fuerte en todo su ministerio, Matthew 23, Mateo 24, he's with his disciples. Él está con sus discípulos, and he's weeping over Jerusalem. Él está lamentando sobre Jerusalén. And if you go to chapter 24, si vayas a chapter 24, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2, vamos a leer verses 1 and 2. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the building of the temple. But he answered them, "You will see these, do you not? You all see these, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be one left, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." This is where it goes.
Cuando Jesús salía del templo y se iba, se acercaron sus discípulos para mostrarle los edificios del templo. Poniendo él, les dijo, ¿veis todo esto? De cierto os digo que no quedará aquí piedra sobre piedra que no sea derribada.
Jesus tells them, and so the disciples, los discípulos, están mirando el templo, they're looking at the temple. And they remember what he says, recuerda lo que dice, he said, how beautiful it is. Mira que tan hermoso es. And Jesus says, not one stone is going to be left. Y Jesús dijo, ni una piedra va a estar allí. Wait a second, espérate. Is the glory of this temple not going to be greater than the glory of Solomon? So the glory de este templo no va a ser mejor que el glory de Solomon? How are you, what are you saying you're going to tear it down? ¿Qué estás diciendo que vas a destruirlo? If you go to Mark chapter 13, si vayas a Marcos capítulo 13, 1 and 2, one of those. And as he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." Marcos 13, 1 and 2.
Saliendo Jesús del templo, le dijo uno de sus discípulos, "Maestro, mira qué piedras y qué edificios." Jesús le respondió, respondiendo, le dijo, "¿Ves esos grandes edificios? No quedará piedra sobre piedra que no sea derribada."
So, let's go once again to Luke 21. Vamos a Lucas 21. Starting verse 5, and presented versículo 5. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, he said, "As for these things, you will see the days will come when there will not be left one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." 21, 5, 6.
Y algunos que hablaban de que el templo estaba adornado de hermosas piedras y ofrendas votivas, dijo, "En cuanto a esas cosas que veis, días vendrán en que no quedará piedra sobre piedra que no sea destruida."
So we see once again Jesus telling the destruction of the temple. Vemos una vez más Jesús diciendo la destrucción del templo. So Jesus says, this temple is going to be destroyed. Jesús dice, este templo va a ser destruido. So how do we reconcile the promise of a greater glory? ¿Cómo reconciliamos una promesa de un gran mayor gloria? ¿No? How do we take this promise in Haggai? ¿Cómo tomamos esta promesa en Haggai? And look at it today. Míralo hoy. We have two options. Tenemos dos opciones. we can sit and wait for the temple to be rebuilt and the greater glory to come. Podemos sentar y esperar por el mayor templo ser reconstruido y una mayor gloria viene. And then when the end is coming, y después sabemos que el final viene. Or we can see what the New Testament says about the temple. Podemos ver qué dice en el Nuevo Testamento del templo. We see Jesus is speaking of his body here. No? Vemos que Jesús está hablando de su cuerpo aquí. That my body will be destroyed, but in 3 days I'll rise it up. Que en 3 días mi cuerpo será destruido, pero voy a levantarlo. Voy a ser destruido, pero lo levanto. Speaking of his body, él está hablando de su cuerpo. We read in the New Testament, leemos en Nuevo Testamento, that Jesus explains that the church is his body. Que la iglesia es su cuerpo. Jesus tells the disciple, I will build my church. Jesús dice a sus discípulos, yo construiré mi iglesia, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Y las puertas de Hades no prevalecerán. We see in Peter, as we've seen several times, vemos en Pedro, como hemos visto varias veces, that we are living stones being built upon the cornerstone that is Christ. Que somos piedras vivos, que estamos construidos sobre el piedra angular, que es Cristo. And so you get this image of a temple being built. Entonces, tienes una imagen del templo siendo reconstruido. Now, I just want to make one point here. Solo quiero hacer un punto aquí. In Haggai, one of the promises is, that I'm going to gather all the wealth of the world and give it here. Voy a tomar todo tesoros del mundo y traerlo aquí, ¿no? But I want to remind you of a parable. Quiero recordarles de un parábola. There's a parable of Jesus, and a parable of Jesus, that there was a man who bought and sold pearls. Que era un hombre que compraba y vendía pearls. And he finds a pearl of great price. Encuentra una perla de gran precio. And what does he do? He has it. Sells everything he has to buy the pearl. Vende todo para comprar la perla. And there's a man who finds a treasure in the field. Era un hombre que encuentra un tesoro en enterrado. What does he do? He has it. Sells everything he has to buy the treasure. Comprar el terreno, to buy the field. Typically, we look at this and we say, Jesus is the pearl of great price. Típicamente vemos esa parábola y decimos que Jesús es el pearl de gran precio. That Jesus is the treasure. Jesús es el tesoro. But in looking at this parable, there's a question. And mirando esa parábola es una pregunta. If Jesus is the pearl of great price, si Jesús is the pearl of gran precio, what are you going to sell to buy that pearl? ¿Qué vas a vender para comprar esa pearl? If Jesus is the treasure, what are you going to sell to buy the field? Si Jesús es el tesoro, ¿qué vas a vender para comprar la tierra? If we're depraved, si somos depravados, what do we have to sell? ¿Qué tenemos para vender? What if, ¿qué tal? Jesus is the one buying the pearl. Jesús es el que está comprando la perla, and Jesus is the one buying the treasure. Jesús está comprando el tesoro, and he's bringing all of this treasure in to himself. Él está trayendo todo este tesoro a sí mismo, and he's building the church. Él está edificando la iglesia, and he is building a church, a temple. Él está construyendo un templo that is far greater in glory than that of Solomon. Que es mucho mayor de gloria lo de Solomon. Now, I want to show you this. It's not far-fetched. Quiero mostrarte así que no está tan lejos. If you go with me to Hebrews chapter 12, si vayas conmigo en Hebreos 12. Starting in verse 18, and it's not a verse through the scripture. For you have not come for what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest.
Porque no os habéis acercado al monte que se podía palpar y que ardía en fuego.
What mountain is he talking about? ¿Qué montaña está hablando? Mount Zion, Monte Sinai. He's actually talking about Mount Zion, right? Monte Sinai, right? So you have this scene of Mount Sinai, where there's the law given and Moses receives the law for the people, and that's where he's talking about. He says, "And the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them." Verse 11.
Dice, al sonido de la trompeta y a la voz que habla, la cual los que la oyeron rogaban que no se les hablase más.
For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned.
Porque no podían soportar lo que se ordenaba. Si aún una bestia tocare el monte, será apedreada o pasada con dardo.
Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear.
Tan terrible era lo que se veía que Moisés dijo, estoy espantado y temblando.
But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal gathering.
Sino que os habéis acercado al monte de Sion, a la ciudad de Dios, del Dios vivo, Jerusalén la celestial, a la compañía de muchos millares de ángeles.
So I just want you to think about this reference here. So look at the pensi, that's the reference here. Where's the temple? Where was the temple in Israel? ¿Dónde fue el templo en Israel? Jerusalem. And what did David call the city? ¿Qué dijo David que llamó la ciudad? Mount Zion, the city of Zion, la ciudad de Sion. Right? So David called it, something David lo llamó, and he says, you've not come to Mount Zion. Dice, no has llegado a Monte Sinai. You've come to Mount Zion. Has llegado a Monte Sion. The heavenly Jerusalem, right? And the angels in festal gathering. Los ángeles celebrando juntado. When there was a festival in Jerusalem, where did it happen? Cuando había un festival en Jerusalén, ¿dónde pasaba? Around the temple. Alrededor del temple. So, you see this idea of a gathering in that heavenly Jerusalem. Ves la idea de una junta, una celebración en la Jerusalén celestial. So, one pregunta. Who is the writer of Hebrews speaking to? ¿De quién está hablando el autor de Hebreos? To believers, to the church, a los creyentes, a la iglesia. And he says, you have come. Y él dice, has llegado. And what would we say? ¿Qué tenemos nosotros? Not yet, right? Todavía no. I'm still here, but that's not what he's saying. Pero no es lo que está diciendo. You in Christ have not come to Mount Sinai. Tú en Cristo no has llegado a Monte Sinai. You've not come to something that you can't touch. No has llegado a algo que no puedes tocar. You've come to Mount Zion, has llegado a Monte Sion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the ciudad, or the Jerusalem celestial. It says in verse 23, December 23, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to spirits of the righteous made perfect.
A la congregación de los primogénitos que están inscritos en los cielos. A Dios, el juez de todos, a los espíritus de los justos, hechos perfectos.
Okay, and what's he talking about then? ¿Qué está hablando ahí? What's the congregation? ¿Cuál es la congregación? The church, la iglesia, right? Now, I want you to think of this in the sense of a temple. Quiero que piénsalos en el sentido de un templo. If we're Gentiles, si somos gentiles, and we go to the temple in Jerusalem, vamos al templo de Jerusalem, can we go in? ¿Podemos entrar? There's a courtyard. I mean, I estar afuera, that we must stay, que tenemos que quedar. But here, he's speaking to a mixed crowd. Aquí está hablando un grupo mixto, and he says, you've come to the gathering of the saints. Así que hablo al punto de santos, to God, a Dios. And then, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
A Jesús, el mediador del nuevo pacto, y a la sangre rociada que habla mejor que la de Abel.
So how do we come into this festival gathering? ¿Cómo llegamos a esta celebración? The blood of Christ, la sangre de Cristo. We see the idea of the temple sacrifice. Vemos la idea del sacrificio del templo, that Christ was crucified. Que Cristo fue crucificado. Haggai makes a promise. Haggai has a promise. The Lord is going to shake the foundations once more. El Señor va a temblar los fundamentos de una vez más. When did that happen? ¿Cuándo fue eso? When Christ was crucified, the earth shook, the tierra tembló, and so you see the fulfillment of this promise from Haggai in Christ. Vemos el complemento de la promesa de Haggai en Cristo. And it says in verse 25, dice en versículo 25, see that you do not refuse him who is speaking, for they did not escape when they refused him and warned them on earth, much less we escape if we reject him. Now, this is where it's going to get very interesting. And I hope you can see the connection with covenant theology. The old covenant and promises in the new, antiguo con Dios de pacto, el antiguo pacto y promesa del nuevo, with our soteriology, con nuestra soteriología, and our eschatology, nuestra eschatología. I hope you see all those come together here. Espero que te veas todo esto juntando aquí. Verse 26. At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.
La voz del cual corrompió entonces la tierra, pero ahora ha prometido diciendo, aún una vez y como veré, no solamente la tierra, sino también el cielo.
Where does this verse come from? ¿Dónde es el verso de bien? We read it. Then, again, Haggai. So I'll shake the heavens once more. Voy a temblar los cielos una vez más. But what's he talking about? Pero qué está hablando? Verse 27. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made in order that things that cannot be shaken may remain.
Y esa frase a una vez indica la remoción de las cosas movibles como cosas hechas para que queden las inmovibles.
It's at that phrase that we want to go to eschatology. It's in esa frase que queremos ir a eschatología. God is eventually going to shake things up. Dios eventualmente va a temblar las cosas. Right? So we see this promise from Haggai. We say, well, is he really talking about the coming of Christ? And rather that está bien hablando de venido de Cristo. Is this not future? Eso no es futurístico. I mean, look at the world. Mira el mundo. It doesn't look like it's been shaken up. No parece que está temblado, no? But listen to verse 28. Mira versículo 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is
Así que recibiendo nosotros un reino incorruptible, tengamos tengamos gratitud y mediante ella sirvamos a Dios, agradándole con todo, con temor, perdón, y reverencia, porque nuestro Dios es fuego consumidor.
Have we received it or are we waiting on it? ¿Hemos recibido ello o estamos esperando? We have received. Hemos recibido. What have we received? ¿Qué hemos recibido? The kingdom. El reino. And what is the kingdom? ¿Qué es el reino? The church. La iglesia. His body. Su cuerpo. That is the temple. ¿Qué es el templo? And that we are being built up into that. Estamos edificados así. So that we are a perfect building for God. Para que somos una edificio perfecto para Dios. And so, when we see this promise that seems to be physical, cuando vemos esta promesa que parece físico, and you see the temple being built, ves el templo reconstruido or rebuilt, and they come to a place and the disciples say, look how beautiful. Llega un punto de los discípulos, mira que tan hermoso. And Jesus says, you don't even have a clue. Ni tienes ni idea. I'm going to destroy this and rebuild it in 3 days. Voy a destruir esta y reconstruir en 3 days. And it's like disciples, they don't get it. Los discípulos no entendieron. ¿Qué mean? ¿Qué quiere decir? In one place in the Gospels, in one of the Gospels, even others, they say, how can you build this in 3 days when it took us so long to build it? ¿Cómo puedes edificar esto en 3 días cuando nos tardamos tanto en hacerlo? You're speaking of his body. Está hablando de su cuerpo. And we are his body. Y somos su cuerpo. And so when we look at the fulfillment of these promises, cuando vemos el cumplimiento de estas promesas, we see their fulfillment only in Christ. Vemos su cumplimiento solo en Cristo. There is a physical promise here to Haggai. Hay una promesa física a través de Haggai. There's a promise to the nation to have a temple. Hay una promesa en la nación de tener un templo. But the new covenant, pero el nuevo pacto, David looks at the sacrifice, David is a sacrificio. That's not what he required. No es lo que requieres. And you're going to see this throughout the whole Old Testament. Vas a ver esto durante el Antiguo Testamento. The ones who were saved, los que estaban salvos, they were saved in Christ, estaban salvados en Cristo. And they see these blessings of the Old Covenant. Ellos ven esas bendiciones del Antiguo Pacto as Abraham receiving a nation and a land. Right, in a kingdom. But yet, the text says he was looking for a city whose builder and founder was God. The text says que él estaba buscando una ciudad que era su constructora de Dios. And you've seen Moses, you've seen Moses. He doesn't get to go to the promised land. No puede ir a tierra prometida. But he writes this great song in his death, pero escribe una gran canción en su muerte. Where was his joy? ¿Dónde está su gozo? Well, Hebrews tells us, Hebreo nos dice, he saw the one that was invisible. Él vio el que era invisible. And you see David looking at the sacrifice. He says, David, you know, the sacrificio, and he's saying, this isn't what God requires. Ese no es lo que Dios quiere, but a broken and contrite heart. Pero un corazón roto y contrito. And so you see that the only reality in Christ of these things is fulfilled in his death, burial, and resurrection. Vemos que el único cumplimiento de Cristo en esas cosas es completado en su muerte, enterrado, y resurrección. And so we see, and so this is where I want to go, this is not a career. We see our view of covenant theology. Vemos nuestro punto de vista de Dios y de pacto. That we're not waiting on another temple. No estamos esperando otro templo. And that we have the kingdom. Tenemos el reino. And that we enjoy the fruits of the resurrection of Christ. Disfrutamos los frutos de la resurrección de Cristo, which the church, la iglesia, that these men long to see, estos hombres anhelaron a ver. We see that we're only brought in here, vemos que solo somos metidos aquí, through the sovereign work of God, a través de la obra soberana, soberano de Dios. And then, we see that we're not waiting for a future reign of Christ. Vemos que no estamos esperando un reino futurístico. That he says we've been given. Nos dice que estamos dado. That people don't see it. La gente no lo ve. But we see Christ. Pero vemos Cristo. And he is the reality of the promise of God. Es la realidad de la promesa de Dios. And so we see all of theology lining up right here. So vemos toda teología poniendo en fila aquí. Anybody have any questions? I can pray with you. I know it's kind of strange lesson this morning. Say, un poco raro esta mañana, but just something that I've been thinking through. So lo es algo que yo estaba pensando. But looking at types and shadows, mirando tipos y sombras, and their reality in the New Testament, su realidad. There were two words that we used here. Soteriology and eschatology. Sí, es bueno que lo explico. Soteriology is the doctrine of salvation. Soteriología is the doctrine of salvation. Eschatology, eschatología. It's weird because the Greek word is eschatos. It's raro porque la palabra en griego es eschatos. And so Spanish actually says it rightly. Español dice correctamente escatología. But in English, it's pronounced differently. In English, está pronunciado diferente escatology. And so it costs me to say the word in English. Me cuesta decirlo a lot in English. But it means the study of the end. Es decir, es el estudio de final. What is it that we believe about the end? ¿Qué es lo que creemos sobre el final? And so we see all of this lining up in one history of the Bible. Entonces vemos todo esto poniendo fila en un solo historia de la Biblia.
So the parable of the prodigal son, it's just those two parables that you
would
deploy
to Christ. La parábola de la perla y el tesoro. Solo son los dos que yo digo que Cristo es quien lo compró. I think that's true of those two. Creo que es verdad sobre esos dos.
Hay
tantas diferentes interpretaciones de Mateo 4.
What is your position on the entire
remnant? ¿Cuál es mi posición de Mateo 4? I think you need to read it very carefully. Creo que debes leerlo muy cuidadosamente en verses 29-31, versículos 29-31, creo. The translation can be bad. Translation puede ser mal. The word for come also means go. La palabra por venir también quiere decir ir. And so I do not think that when you see this darkness come, no creo que cuando ves esta obscuridad viene, it's speaking of his return. Está hablando de su regreso, but I think of his death. Pero de su muerte. And after that is his second coming. Después de su segunda venida. I do think a lot of that happened in 70 AD. Yo sí creo que mucho de esto pasó en 70 AD, the destruction of the temple. The destruction of the temple is, the man of the mountains, but I think it's also indicative, pero también creo que es indicativo of a tribulation that the church will face. De una tribulación que la iglesia va a confrontar. So, you read Matthew 24, lees Mateo 24, and it's very clear that the church is suffering, la iglesia está sufriendo, and the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. Y el que perseverará hasta el fin será salvo. And in, I think it's verse 31, verse 31, it says that there's some here, standing here today, that won't pass this
this generation won't pass away before this thing comes. Dice, hay unos aquí que no van a morir hasta que se pasa. I think that's speaking about the death of Christ, correct? Está hablando de muerte de Cristo. And that's why we can see that as happening. It's okay,
so, that's
why
as I guess,
for
some parts you can equate to this and that, and, but also the most of the one will be left on the field. That's all in the same chapter.
Huh, that's judgment, the last judgment. Yeah. But está hablando de un persona dejado en la tierra. Dos están caminando, uno es dejado. Actually, one of the best commentaries on that passage, uno de los mejores comentarios en ese pasaje, is John MacArthur. And he is very clear. That's not talking about a rapture. Él es muy claro. Ese no está hablando de un rapto, but in the final judgment, in the juicio final. And I think he's right that Kirk is that correct.
I'm just meaning, like, where do you determine that it's talking about 70 AD, or is it talking about the death of Christ, or is it talking about the death, right?
The context of the passage, the context of the passage. So, ella preguntó, ¿dónde yo determino si está hablando de the destruction of the temple or the final? If you look at the how the passage flows, como fluye el pasaje, I think it's clear that it's talking about the last judgment. Because Claudio is pissed out on the ultimate piece.
So, I have in my mind that
it says, so the treasures is capitalized there?
Yeah, and well, on Bible Gateway, and RER.
I think that's just an interpretation. Kirk is always interpretation. In the Hebrew, it's not capitalized. Braille, no, it's no, se hace mayúscula. Yeah, it's just the treasure of the nations.
Go on with what this is saying.
Uh-huh.
I can see in this passage that it is speaking of Christ, that the temple will no longer be a building, but it will be Christ.
Oh, sure. So if we're talking about bringing all the wealth in, si estamos hablando de traer todo el tesoro, I don't think that's literal. No creo que eso es literal. I think that Christ is the treasure. Que Cristo es el tesoro. So it's talking about the temple. It's not hablando de temple. And if we come in the temple and we see its beauty, si vemos, venimos al templo y vemos su hermosidad, we see Christ. Vemos Cristo. So I don't think it's, so like a postmillennialist, un postmillennialista, they would take that and say, we're going to conquer the world. Vamos a conquistar el mundo. And we're going to have the world's wealth. Vamos a tener the dinero del mundo. I think what he's saying is the wealth of all the world, the most wealthy thing in the world is going to be in this temple. Va a estar en este temple. We know that's Christ. Nosotros sabemos que es this Cristo. But when we see the value, when we look at the parable of the treasure and the pearl, pero cuando vemos el valor de la parábola de tesoro y el pearl, we see Christ going and buying that. Vemos Cristo yendo y comprando eso. And so, we see the beauty and the most value in all the world gathered together in this temple. Vemos la hermosura y la valor de todo el mundo juntado en este templo. You see it also in Song of Solomon. También ves en Song of Solomon. The value of this love. The valor de esta amor. So, if a man comes and says, I want to buy your love, Si un hombre viene y dice, quiero comprobar tu amor, en Psalm 8:4, en Cantares 8:4, it says that he would go away sad, que irá triste, because he won't sell it, que no va a venderlo. So we see the value placed on the church. Entonces vemos el valor puesto sobre la iglesia, the kingdom, el reino, the glory of this temple greater than the other. La gloria de este templo mayor que otro. Because when we get to Hebrews, when you have it, you can see this idea that we've come to this beautiful place of the saints, of God, of the Son. Puedes ver que hemos llegado a ese lugar hermoso con los santos, con Dios, con su Hijo. And so it's all together in that place. Es todo junto en ese lugar. Does that make sense?
Una parábola, es una parábola que no te dice cuando está haciendo el llamado. Mm-hmm. Dice, él compara la vida en Cristo con la vida en el mundo. Y dice, de nada sirve que tengamos toda la riqueza del mundo y perdamos lo más importante.
Yeah.
A él, no, mucho, nosotros decimos perder tu alma, ¿no? Pero es conocerle a él no tiene un valor.
Brother, I've been saying, if we look at what Jesus says, as a prophet, man, gain the whole world. You know? And the text says, lose your soul. Or we can even say, to lose everything, right? But Jesus is the value there. Jesus is about Lord. And so, when we speak of the kingdom of God, come along to the reino de Dios. And we said this all along, hemos dicho este siempre, there's an already and a not yet. Hay una ya y no todavía. So there's a reality that we have this now. Hay una realidad que lo tenemos ahora. And there's a reality it's going to have a greater glory there. Y tenemos una realidad que va a tener una mayor gloria ahí. However, sin embargo, when we speak of the kingdom of God, cuando hablamos del reino de Dios, Christ is the head and we're the body. Cristo es la cabeza, somos el cuerpo. And so we see all this glory as one glory. Entonces vemos toda esta gloria como un solo glory. And so the value of the temple is in Christ and the church. Entonces el valor de la temple es en Cristo y la iglesia. Because we have value only in Him. Porque nosotros tenemos solo valor en Él. And so I think in Haggai, yo creo que en Haggai, when he's gathering all this into one place, cuando está juntando todo esto en todo lugar, I think we can make application for that on a lot of fronts. Creo que podemos hacer aplicación de esto en muchos frentes. So the glory being brought in is Christ in the church. La gloria siendo traído es Cristo de la iglesia. Does that make sense? ¿Tiene sentido? Which is the importance of the church today.
Algún texto donde el Antiguo Testamento hace como una radiografía del Nuevo Testamento y es la gloria de Dios dejando el templo en el libro de Ezequiel. Cuando nosotros miramos el Nuevo Testamento, es la gloria de Dios volviendo por el mismo lugar donde salió, que es por el Monte de los Olivos. Y es como que por el mismo lugar donde Ezequiel está diciendo se fue, por el mismo lugar donde le está entrando el mundo del pastor.
He's saying that we see an overlap from Ezekiel. We're told that the glory of the Lord left the temple. And then it's like the glory of the Lord returns to the same place on the Mount of Olives. So you see Jesus coming and a building of a new temple, not a construction of a new temple, and the glory is greater than the first. So the glory is mayor que el primero. Anybody else? One more question.
Yeah,
what should
we just
okay.
Haggai is showing the people of that time who saw the glory of God in the temple, foretelling what the Lord, the final and most planned then the future, basically.
Yes. And so that's what I want to do is look at Maribel says in La Gloria, Haggai says in La Gloria, is in El Nuevo Templo, non es el edificio. And that's what I wanted to show with going to the disciples saying, look how beautiful it is. Es lo que quiere mostrar. Mostrar a los discípulos diciendo, mira que tan hermoso es esto. So this is our great temple. It's in our grand temple. And Christ says, it's nothing. And Christ says, no, that's the same thing that happens. You look at it and you think it's nothing. Lo ves y dices que no es nada. It's not. Nada. And so just take this, and I want to make one application. So take this, Tomo says that this idea, esta idea, and take the New Testament, Tomo's the New Testament, and sit down with Peter and Paul and Jesus. Siéntate con Pedro y Pablo y Jesús. So how are we going to rebuild the temple? ¿Cómo vamos a reconstruir el templo? How are we going to get the land back? ¿Cómo vamos a ganar la tierra? How are we going to rebuild this? ¿Cómo vamos a reconstruir esto? According to the New Testament, what would be the response? De acuerdo con el Nuevo Testamento, ¿qué será tu respuesta? You look what Paul says in Galatians about legalistic circumcision and things. There's okay, Pablo is saying Galatians today that circumcision and legalism, and he's angry. It's not enough. And he said, this isn't justification. That's the noise you get. This isn't the kingdom that God's building. That's the noise of random. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. So reino is a reino in spiritual. And that's what I wanted us to grasp today. This is lo que quería que tomamos hoy. There is a physical presence of the church. Hay una presencia física de la iglesia where we meet, donde nosotros juntamos. But the kingdom of God is spiritual. El reino de Dios is a spiritual. And this temple is a spiritual temple. Y este templo es un templo espiritual. And this kingdom will not be seen by the eyes of this world. Y este reino no va a ser visto por los ojos de este mundo until Christ returns and it's revealed que Cristo regresa y está revelado.
Me gusta mucho por el tema del templo. El primer templo que Dios mandó, bueno, que Dios permitió que se construyera Salomón.
I like the idea of the temple, the first temple that God allowed to be built from Solomon.
Después de la destrucción por Babilonia, el segundo templo que se construye, vemos cómo Dios reclama, ¿no?, de que no se está haciendo como debería de ser.
So when they're building the second temple, God is rebuking them, they're not doing it as it should.
Y aún nosotros vemos la construcción la tercera vez, y cuando nosotros leemos la guerra de los judíos, ¿no?, por ser la descripción que habla del templo es impresionante.
So, on the third time, the description that they give is impressionable.
Pero nosotros miramos que Cristo, diciendo a sus discípulos, esto no es nada.
But we see Christ telling his disciples, this is nothing.
Nosotros sabemos de que, bueno, la historia dice de Herodes que hizo muchas modificaciones al templo.
The story says that Herod made many additions to the temple.
Quiere decir de que ese no era idéntico al templo que Moisés vio.
It wasn't identical to what Moses had been given.
Pero lo que Cristo le está hablando, el templo que viene es mucho mejor que ustedes mismos.
Christ is saying the temple that's coming is far greater. That is the kingdom. This is our reign. It's what we receive in Christ, que recibimos en Cristo. And the joy of the church, the gozo of the iglesia, is we're not waiting. No estamos esperando. You have come. Has llegado. And it won't be shaken. No puede ser quitado. Amen.
Padre, le damos gracias, Señor, por tu palabra. Gracias, Señor, por haber traído, Señor, a nuestras mentes, Señor, que recordamos que no hay nada, Señor, comparado en este mundo, Señor, con la gloria que usted nos da, Señor. Gracias, Señor, por permitir conocerle a usted. permitirnos, Señor, vivir, Señor, conforme a lo que usted nos ha dejado escrito. Le pedimos, Señor, de que sea usted poniendo nuestras mentes sabiduría, Señor, amor y pasión, Señor, por usted, para que podamos, Señor, vivir, Señor, recordando de que estamos, Señor, en algo seguro, Señor, que nuestro fundamento, Señor, es mejor de que vivieran los antiguos, Señor. Gracias te damos, Señor, por tu amor y la misericordia que tenemos con cada uno de nosotros. En nombre de su Hijo amado, Jesús.